All right. We'd like to call to order our January 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners. Happy New Year to everyone. And let us start with a Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Stevens, would you lead us, please? Thank you. We'll move on to a roll call. Jessica?
Yes, Commissioner Stevens,
Here.
Commissioner Rainey,
Here.
Commissioner Brennan,
Present.
Vice Chair Gardena,
Here.
and Chair Blumenberg.
Here.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Commissioners, thoughts on the agenda for tonight?
One item, I'll move it.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. All right, we'll move on to the minutes from our last meeting from December 20th. Commissioners, thoughts on those minutes?
Having read and deciphered them, I'll go ahead and move the item.
A second.
Motion and a second to approve the minutes from December 20th as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none opposed, the minutes are approved. All right, we'll move on to public comments, an opportunity for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anyone in the audience that would like to present tonight? All right, welcome.
Right there. Okay, can you hear me fine?
Yes.
My name's Yvonne Menard. I'm with Hokoloa Outrigger Canoe Club. I'm the vice president, and Joe Lehman is our president. We just wanted the opportunity to meet you and say hello, and also thank you for your support of a recent event when the Hokulea came and sailed here from Hawaii. And it was great to work with all the members of the district, especially Harbor Patrol and the marketing department. They were wonderful. I think the event brought in a lot of community members, which is right in line with our organization. We've been a nonprofit operating here in the harbor for 35 years now. We're all about promoting the sport of outrigger canoeing. It's a competitive club, but it's all about community connection and protecting the ocean. So this year, we're hoping to establish a youth program for 14 to 19-year-olds and grow that and work as much as we can with other partners in the harbor, the yacht club, and others to just promote ocean sports. We're very committed to protecting the ocean. We regularly patrol the beaches and pick up trash, and oftentimes at the end of our paddles, we have bags and patrol the waters here in the harbor to keep them look nice. We're very just pleased to have such an incredible treasure in our community and appreciate your roles in protecting it. And anything we can do to help promote events in the harbor, we always have an annual event on June 8th, it is this year, where we bring usually 1,500 to 2,000 different community members from really up Santa Maria down to San Diego as part of our what they call iron races, the long races. And this location is a favorite place. It's one of the best access to the ocean, and it's just a beautiful community. So hopefully that will grow over the years and we'll get more activity here in the harbor. Thank you.
Well, Bon Joe, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I appreciate the comments, and you guys do really have a consistent presence here. I think we even saw you in the Parade of Lights, so that you earned our respect when everybody out there was relying on the throttle. You guys were paddling, so that was a great event. So thank you for joining us, and appreciate your comments. All right, any other comments? Not seeing anybody else locally. Jessica, do we have anybody else online?
There are no public speakers.
All right, so we will close public communications and move on to our closed session report. Council?
Chair Blumenberg, commissioners, good evening and happy new year.
The board met in closed session to discuss the two items of litigation in the agenda under section 54956.9. And in each case, the board heard a report from counsel about the status of the litigation and gave direction to counsel. There was no action that was reportable under the Brown Act.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, we'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for commissioners to talk about activities related to the Port District. Commissioners, any comments tonight? Looks like we have no board communications tonight, so we will close that. And I'll move on to the staff and general manager reports. And Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
I'm going to hold my comments until standard agenda item one tonight.
All right. We will move on to our consent agenda. We have two items on the consent agenda tonight, approval of an assignment and assumption of lease and approval of a new month-to-month lease. Commissioners, thoughts on the consent agenda?
There are no public comments. I'd move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, so I have a motion and a second. And do we have any public comments in the room on the consent agenda? None. Any, Jessica, any comments online?
None online.
All right, so we have no public comments. We'll take a vote on that motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we will approve both items on the consent agenda. All right. Brian, we will. You want to make a comment on the standard agenda?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to the standard agenda. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Commissioners. Happy New Year to everyone. The recent and forecasted severe winter storms certainly have impacted Ventura with high swell and surf in and around Ventura County beaches and harbors during the past week. We prepared this memo on Friday of last week after the first storm came through on Thursday with not really knowing what was going to happen from there. So we wanted to put this on the agenda to be able to give an opportunity to brief the board. The Coast Guard at that time closed the Ventura Harbor entrance channel beginning on Thursday the 28th. Beaches throughout the county were also closed, and forecasts continued into Saturday for high surf on Saturday, December 30th. Staff began meeting regularly throughout the events to monitor and respond accordingly, and was also in communication with city, county, and state officials throughout the events. Closure signage was placed at the public launch ramp for a short period of time and beaches on as of Friday, December 29th, while the village remained open to the public. Some damage, relatively minor overall, to harbor docks and water damage was reported by Director Ventura. We did include in the board report, the public can certainly go to vcemergency.com for the latest information. We found that to be very helpful throughout the county, listing of closures throughout. So what I wanted to do tonight, certainly John Higgins and the Harbor Patrol team has been extremely active, as have our other departments, including facilities, who have been very busy over the last week. So I want to start with Todd Mitchell, our Senior Business Operations Manager, and then turn it to John. We do have a couple of photos. If any of you have had a chance to be out or near the beach, they'll describe, but certainly pictures tell 1,000 words, and you're beginning to see a significant erosion. So with that, I'll turn it to Todd and then to John.
Thank you, Brian. I think everyone is probably familiar with some of the videos that have gone viral about the impacts to Ventura at large. Thankfully, we can say that the harbor itself didn't experience nearly the significant impacts particularly to property. But if we were to look over across the way at Marina Park and the sand spit that comes out, that took a real beating, and a lot of the material probably has ended up in the inner harbor, just south of Marina Park. So the contractor doing the water pier project actually had to do some hydrographic surveying anyway in advance of a pipe pull. So we will get some data as a beneficiary of that, which will help us understand the changes, but we are currently in the process of soliciting bids for the Inner Harbor dredging. So this could have some impact. And John will probably state we had quite a bit of flow coming back from the Keys as the tide conditions receded. So there, we don't really know what we're in for. It could be more, it could be less, could be more sand, but we'll see. Also, and you see the photos up here, obviously our beaches took quite a pounding. They normally do in this time of year, but this is probably, John has a better, longer tenure of history here, but this is probably the worst we've seen it in some time. Jessica, could you go to the next photos? One area in particular that's pretty severely impacted is what's called the South Groin. This is not the connected to the entrance, but it is south of that. And you can see that it has become an island because the water actually wrapped around it. According to Richard Parsons, who I spoke with while he's on vacation in Belgium, the groin was built in 1994. It was not built to his liking. And so the Corps came back a couple of years later and rebuilt and added additional rock in the waterside. But the jetty was never expected to be, or the groin was never expected to be exposed on the land side. So the conversation have started with the Corps. We expect them to come out and do an inspection and give advice as to whether or not they need to address this. But it is their infrastructure, and therefore, if any remediation can be determined to be done, we go back to Congress, we ask for money, and hopefully we can see this addressed in, not probably immediately, but in some time. There may be some value in doing something more, let's say, soft structure, hay bales, seagrass, that sort of thing, to build up some resilience in the short term. You can also see on the right-hand side, that's actually the south jetty that's exposed. The rocks there are quite large as well, but they go into the dune, right at the toe of the dune, so we don't at this point have any structural failure imminent, but it is a huge amount of erosion, particularly that stretch of beach. And then next slide. And then I'll let John discuss the efforts of his team, which have been pretty fantastic.
I think I'd first like to point out that we were all aware that this was going to be a weather winter. With the El Nino predicted coming off the neutral Nino, which had more severe weather than was expected. I think even some of the commissioners mentioned we should really start planning on that, and we took it to heart. Some of the things that we've implemented here under Brian's direction was more of a full team approach. In the past, the Harbor Patrol would kind of mostly respond to these types of things, and maintenance would assist and help. And it was of great assistance having the maintenance. We've started to implement planning in advance with the entire Port District staff. And this was the second time where the entire Port District staff was involved and was able to participate. And I could say absolutely without a doubt that the signage was something that we would have never been able to pull off, the Harbor Patrol ourselves. But when we had the whole team together, facilities and maintenance was working with marketing and the administrative staff, able to make that quick decision, yes, let's purchase these signs, let's put these signs out. And my guys were able to focus on the public safety side of it. That is something that we're building on with aspirations to be able to run full incidents internally here, because in the past, what we found is when there's larger scale disasters in the city and the county, the resources stay in the city and the county, and we can't get them here because we're on the exterior. So this was our second group approach towards it, maybe not the second ever, but this was more formal than, you know, a year ago. The first one was the rains that we had just a couple weeks ago. That was another one where everyone was aware that there was the potential for large flooding. We did briefings going into that event, and everyone knew what to expect and what they would do. Fortunately, it didn't impact our harbor in a negative way. Going into this event, I knew well in advance that there was going to be a large surf event, and I knew that through the multiple forecast methods that I'll use to kind of evaluate the strength, that it was going to be a very strong event, similar to last January's event. So some of the things that we do as a harbor patrol is the preparation going into it and the prevention aspect. Prevention is our number one goal. If we could avoid a rescue, then we were successful. So I assertively reached out to Island Packers, to the National Park Service, people who would normally have trips that were going to be going out during that time. I put together a specific document for the Vietnamese fleet in Vietnamese and hand-delivered it to the fuel dock. That's a demographic that we've had problems with communicating in the past, and their activity is typically they'll come in the harbor at night and they'll leave at night. And often we don't know anything about it until we see them either successfully make it in or a disaster and we're responding to it. In addition to that, I reached out to the Coast Guard early, and there's a relatively new commander at Channel Islands Harbor. So I let him know that there was a high potential for breaking waves in our harbor entrance and what we've done in the past and what we would like to just put on the table beforehand. So that got a chance to circulate through their organization. And typically what happens, even though it's a federal channel and they have the ability to make that decision without our input, it's always a two-way communication, which is very nice to be able to have the dialogue with them. Typically, we scale it up. We start with warnings on the radio to boaters that there's hazardous conditions, to contact the Harbor Patrol before trying and passing. And then to the point where it becomes perilous, they'll close it. And typically that will be for a period of time. So those were some of the things we did beforehand, and I think had a lot of value. I will say that there was some risk taking that went on with some of the people that we did communicate with, and which was unfortunate, but hopefully it was a learning event for them. There were boats that departed on the Thursday early on when the conditions were building. And shortly after they left, the conditions worsened to the point where they weren't able to come back. Fortunately, the port of Hueneme stepped up and graciously offered to be a safe harbor for our community. And one Island Packers boat went there, one sport fishing boat went there, and a couple of commercial fishing vessels went there. So it was very nice to know during the peak of that wave event and the one on Saturday too, actually throughout that 72 hours, that the port of Hueneme was welcoming to any boats. That took a lot of stress off ourselves and the captains. As far as the Harbor Patrol operations, like the rest of the Port District staff, we kind of had a surge staffing going into it. On the day of, we had additional Harbor Patrol officers volunteer to come in, which gave us very good staffing. And we ended up supporting the state parks in their aquatic safety at the Ventura Pier, mostly because they didn't have experienced operators on the rescue watercraft. And that's something that we've focused on for a number of years, and our staff are exceptional. So I volunteered our rescue watercraft operator and ski to support their mission, because we knew that there was going to be a number of surfers kind of pushing the limits. And throughout the day, they were able to make a couple dozen assists. There was one video that Fox News aired of one of our staff doing a rescue, and that was something that they did several times over. I think it was really good for our community to be involved in our community. And this was before the fire department really kind of formalized and got involved with this event. This was just a high surf event that then turned into a citywide and countywide, planning process after the incident on Seaward. But going into the next 2 days, it was very similar, where we had cohesive communications through all levels of the district and support through all levels of the Port District. We had everything from the sign that was the electronic sign that we got from the grant at the entrance, warning of dangerous conditions, stay off the rocks, giving them advice to avoid the water, and dial 911 to the signs methodically placed at each entry point, and then roving kind of patrols on land to kind of be a presence. Unfortunately, you know, when the news says there's big waves, everyone comes to the harbor. And even though we had closed signs and people parking in bad places, we have to take a bigger picture towards it. So we don't commit to the little things like trying to get a crowd who's not going to leave the beach to leave the beach. Instead, we tried to stay available so that we could respond to those emergencies. And we had a number throughout the event. But ultimately, no one got injured, and there was a lot of successful rescues. From a harbor perspective, once again, we had great community support, and Towboat US was available. We did have concerns Thursday afternoon with a very strong surge that was akin to the tsunamis, that there would be damage back in the Keys area, but fortunately, we didn't experience that. I think that that was largely because of that group participation on our side. Dave from the marina graciously opened up his slips and allowed a number of larger vessels to relocate into his area. That portion of the harbor gets far less surge and swell. So a number of people inquired, and he accommodated everybody to my knowledge, including our rock the dock that's normally attached to our floating boathouse. We relocated that as well as one of our boats because of the potential for those strong surges. So we didn't want to get we didn't want to underappreciate that danger, but fortunately that was not replicated on Saturday. The swell came from a different direction. It was equally as large, but not as frequent. So it was much safer, and we didn't have nearly the surge within the harbor. But I will commend my staff for stepping up and being willing to work. We had, I think, 8 people on Saturday. So had there been a disaster or major incident, we would have been able to handle it. We did have some concerns with one of the docks over at Ventura West Phase 2 that had previously failed during one of the tsunamis. It was looking like it was going to fail, and that was one where we did a mass relocation of all the vessels to other places in the harbor. So all in all, I think our approach as a team was appropriate. It was comforting from my staff's perspective to have that extra support, and I think that we'll continue to build upon that. And I think that that better prepares us as a harbor to respond to anything that's in the future. So these type of events, one of the projects that I'm now have is to try to put into effect the angles of the swells and how it affects our particular harbor, so that in the future when I'm gone and my staff's gone, someone will know that if there's a swell coming from 278 and to be 10 feet, we could expect these types of things. So I'm happy to say that everyone did a phenomenal job, and I can't say the enough good praises about my staff and their willingness to go out in those conditions and their discipline to not go out in those conditions. So that was the other side of it, is that our boat operators were available. They went out, they saw that the conditions became perilous, and they came back, and we relied on those rescue watercraft. Those are, you know, essentially disposable in the reality, you know, but they're very effective in that surf zone. So rather than put a boat in jeopardy, those crafts can go to shore if they had to. They can get out through the surf. But at all times, there was good communications and good discipline. So,
thank you, John. Todd, could you touch on kind of the, you touched on it, John, The signage right now, beaches are reopened, but you know, you've shown some pictures up here that in some areas have some pretty dramatic drop-offs, particularly the photo there on the right. So Todd, what does our signage look like right now? And I know we've been in communication with the Coastal Commission during this this event as well, so maybe touch on that.
Yeah, I actually think that the word communication is really the big story here. Communicating to the public through the signage. The updated signage is danger, hazardous beach conditions. I mean, it's pretty much runs the gamut of whether or not you've got rip currents and you know, crazy swells, whether or not you're walking on the beach and the beach is a 14-foot cliff, or you're standing on the edge of the dune and the dune fails due to erosion, because we're still seeing the water. Even even yesterday, the water was coming right to the toe of the dunes. So you know this, and with the strong waves still coming today, and then again on Sunday, we're still going to see more erosion. So it's important that that we keep the public aware of the risks of being at the beach, even if they decide to ignore some of that information. John referenced a sign that we got through the grant. That's a great communication opportunity. Brian was able, even though the city was effectively closed, to because of the relationship we've been developing, speak with the new city manager, Bill Iab, directly, and make sure that they were taking action, which we didn't see it at the start of the events. The city was slow to respond, and we were watching things happen. We watched a dog get washed into the Marina Park Basin, and somebody grabbing onto a bench to keep from going following his dog in. So that level of communication. And then we also notified the Coastal Commission once the harbor entrance had closed, and we made the decision to close the beach parking lots. John also referenced the communication with Port of Hueneme's, you know, his equivalent there. You know, I think there's just a lot of really great anecdotes of the communication and the networking within our community that really probably did a lot to help the public.
Thank you, Todd. That concludes our presentation, but obviously staff is here, including Sergio and team with facilities, who helped, as John referenced, helped put together signage for us, along with our administrative staff here in the office that did some of those efforts as well. So we'll turn back to the board.
Commissioners, thoughts, questions?
Just a couple things. Obviously, congratulations to you, all of you, the whole entire staff. I mean, terrific job. But and you talked about communication. It's the communications that you've all been having, not during these events, right? That makes the communication during the event so effective. So you know, kudos for that. And I know you've worked hard at that, John, with our other, you know, partners in these things. And you know, just keep up the good work.
Yeah, kudos to the staff and really everybody here, because as you said, John, preparations, everybody involved, and then when something like this happens, it's all hands on deck, from just some security to maintenance to marketing. Everybody's here watching that. I mean, it is unfortunate. I mean, it's like moths to a flame, and that's what I think. You know, for when people hear these kind of things, have no idea of the. What can happen? I mean, seeing people in walkers trying to get down to see the waves. So thank you. They don't know they got saved. Maybe we kept them from being in a position where they shouldn't have been, and that's probably the biggest thing.
You saw the same folks I did, huh?
I did. I'm thinking, oh man. But they, yeah, the parking lot was closed and they couldn't get across. And I thought, oh, hallelujah. But tomorrow there's a big, John, I don't know if you're involved. It's it's a Teams meeting. It was originally going to be at Oxnard City Hall, but it basically a download from coastal cities and the county, Pat Menard, the disaster council, just talking about the areas of vulnerability and what happened, and those are some of the things that I think, as you said, getting that 270 is a sweet spot for waves here, but not when the waves are or 15 to 18 to 23 feet down, pushing through. I mean, that is the right, certainly the right, makes the point go off and all the great surf spots go off. But with that kind of swell, I mean, it's absolutely dangerous. That download is going to happen. I think the important thing is that we are documenting what we're seeing. I look up there and I see the dunes that just got sort of replenished last year. Luckily enough, there's still some there, but maybe by the end of this winter, or we get into a, the dredge cycle, hopefully we'll be able to have something there to salvage. So I think that's great. And then the other thing I've been seeing over the last couple of days, we have some data buoys here at the harbor. I think the people have been referencing in the scientific community. So John, thank you for the access to that. I think they're comparing them with the ones in Santa Barbara, which is, I think, on the pier. And I think the one here in the harbor is more down.
It's on the long dock right here.
That's what I thought. It was at a lower position. But so they're doing that correlation. But just that type of data, looking at the surges and the long wave periods, I mean, it's something that has not been seen here. And I don't think Scripps been taking, gosh, ticker tapes and all these kind of early buoy stuff since the 50s. And I don't think anything like this has come up. But it does, as, and again, I want to say thank you for preparation, but it does bring back home the idea that when we have storms, we have no idea anymore. The models are not reacting the way they used to. I mean, the models tell us we should do this. Percentages tell you should do this. But Mother Nature's saying, no. You guys, I've been trying to tell you, you haven't been listening, so I'm going to really give you a lesson this time. And we did dodge one here this last week, and we've got a king tide coming up next, I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next a week from now. I think it's the 11th. And if we have some storms out there, we could be in even worse positions. So I just want anybody, the public that's out there, please heed the signs, stay away. I think the biggest thing I saw that stuck home to me was the California State Lifeguard that obviously thrown off his jet ski or was out trying to rescue somebody and got into trouble and understandably so in those seas, and literally had to be carried ashore by two civilians on the beach. You may probably know more about that than I do, but it does tell you it's not just you're just crazily going out there, but public safety, they take an oath, and somebody calls and, oh, sorry, man, we warned you. You shouldn't have gone out there, so you're on your own. That isn't how it happens. And so thank you to Harbor Patrol. And I could go on, but I won't. Thank you.
Yeah. Just real quick. We have safety briefings, and my guys know to constantly evaluate that particular rescue. He jumped off the pier. So he originated at the Ventura Pier. He made it to shore at Seaward. His equipment failed shortly after the pier. So him and the victim became disconnected. The victim made it to shore at Schoolhouse. So that's how quick things happen. But for example, when we went out on the ski on Saturday, we had a two-person team, and so they knew that if anything was happening, they were there for each other. And the things that we looked at on Thursday that were weaknesses, we improved upon on the following Saturday. But yeah, what I didn't mention was that we did attend all the county meetings, including I got up at and was at the fairgrounds at 6 a.m. on Saturday for a briefing before everybody deployed. And then afterwards, I've been in communications with Patrick and OES and documenting the erosion and the different things to be able to deliver to them an assessment, basically. And some of the things that we're talking about here at the Port District is, potentially is dredging something that we're going to put in a ticket for because it's a high number. If you look at the videos of just a singular wave that went on to Seaward, how much sand was left after the fact, we had that happening for 3 days straight here at Marina Park coming into the basin. So it could have some real costs associated with it and or the engineering. So we have been in communication. I met with Patrick on 2 days ago, and we were over on the beach and looked at it. And today we had Dr. Lynette from USC's Coastal Engineering Program. He's the one that's done the modeling for our harbor, and he was here on site. We spoke for a while, and he's going to come back next week and put some additional tidal sensors within the harbor in different locations so that he could get better data to go into his modeling to help all coastal engineering and tsunami preparations.
Mike, if I just one last thing, one of the things I certainly think we need to be preparing for, and I know certainly the city isn't, all of us need to be aware, FEMA is not an endless well of money. And actually FEMA is turning down requests. I mean, this is not like, you know, so we need to be careful and document what we can and push forward. But in the future, I mean, we're going to have to be looking at, you know, some of the things we may looking at it differently because we won't get reimbursed for it. And I think as a taxpayer myself and knowing that this is going on around the whole country, on the coastline, everywhere, it's just unsustainable to be able to do the kind of things they've been doing in the past. So we've got to be doing things differently along the coastline. And Todd, I know you've been actively involved and continue to be, and really, and Mike, really all of us have been more aware, because when we think about capital improvements or maybe improving a dock or something, we might be looking at, you know, the jetty out there. I mean, yeah, the core's on the hook, but they're going to say, hey, we're only on the hook for twice. After that, it's the rest. I mean, those kind of things are going to start coming up. So sorry, but that we do have to start taking this seriously. And we have. And this tells you, and your preparation and some of the things we've been doing says that. Can we do more? Certainly, we can only do it as we have the funding, but also as the opportunities arise. So let's continue in that vein.
I just want to again commend the staff. For its teamwork and Harbor Patrol for the efforts that you put in. Thank you. Speaking of communications, I know in the past we have received emails with communications that went to tenants, but I didn't remember seeing that. Did one go out and it just wasn't sent to us? Or
I think we sent one out the during the rain event, but I don't think we followed up with this with this next one.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I didn't miss it.
Yeah, you didn't slip on our part.
Okay. The next question I had was, I know that we usually take another look at the budget in February. And so one question I had was, is there anything that needs to be mitigated immediately and or that are costs that will be placed on our budget this fiscal year that we need to be thinking about?
Yeah, well, as we get together, And our team will look at those costs. I mean, for example, as John pointed out, we'll have additional costs in overtime related to this event. Whether or not that puts us in a position that we would exceed our total budget for the fiscal year, we'll do some evaluation of that. One of the things that we had talked about in the budget last year was, you know, and a little bit to what you're saying, and I think you brought this up in particular, Vice Chair, was that, you know, we're sort of in this annual pattern of something going wrong. And so now, you know, we need signage, we need debris removed, we need, you know, to be able to respond quickly. And with the budget in hand, I think we've been able to do quite a bit of that. So, you know, so far, as you said, king tide's coming, other things happening, and we'll keep a close tab on it. And if we need to make an adjustment, we would come back to the board in the mid-year budget and request additional funding.
And then just one last question for you, John, and it had to do with Harbor Patrol being able to help down at the Ventura Pier. I know there's been times where we've been called and you guys have been able to respond outside of the district boundaries when it came to the fire over at the Channel Island, et cetera. But how did it come about that our patrol guys ended up being at the pier? Was that a request made or?
I offered that. When we do that, that is also training. And that's how we establish both who is able to operate, what the limits are, and when the no-go stuff is. In this type of event, like I mentioned, that I knew that the staff that they had was ill-equipped, and my goal is to keep everyone safe. And in a way, that was what we did, is we kept firefighters from hopping in the water, and the lifeguards were able to learn from a very experienced operator. And that's, you know, kudos to you all for supporting us in our training budget and supporting things like the rescue watercraft. Some agencies don't have that because they're concerned about the risk. We take the risk very serious, and the way that we succeed is by training and spending a lot of time on those things. And we would have never, I would have never sent them if I didn't have complete confidence that they could do what they were able to do. Typically, no one else is involved. It's just the state park lifeguards and ourselves. The fire departments aren't mobilized. They don't have extra staffing. And so it was going to be one lifeguard on a jet ski up there by themselves. So that was the reason why I said, well, I can send another person to support that. Saturday was a different story. There was a lot of resources, but still, the offer was there because the fire department doesn't train in that big of waves. They just don't have the opportunity where our guys do because of our proximity to the water, knowledge of when the swells are. So extend that as a good faith, but also sincerely trying to keep people from getting hurt.
Yeah, well, and again, I think it goes back to developing those good relationships with the city. And I appreciate that our primary goal here is to create a safe harbor, and that extends along the coastline, regardless of whether or not it's within district boundaries. So well done. And we approve a budget that has training in it, but you have the vision and the leadership to make sure that that's in the budget and to make sure that you're putting people through the kinds of training that you anticipate will be needed here. So thanks for the thanks, but it all reflects back on you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks and appreciation to you and staff for what you've done on this. Talking to friends in Oregon, the Oregon coast, and I got some friends in Malibu, they're basically saying that they can't, with the climate change and everything, what they're doing right now is unsustainable. And they've also brought up that there won't be any disaster money from FEMA in the future, at least not as much. So they are basically taking what folks normally do in IT and coming up with what they call disaster recovery plans. But in terms of if the beach gets washed, if the dune gets washed out completely, what do we do? And then in turn, business continuity. Is there an economic or tourist or other costs to it? And they're starting out with scenarios, basically looking at that, and where we said we want to put more money aside in terms of being ready for climate change. They are basically talking with everyone about continuity and disaster recovery. Because staff is basically, I can tell you in Oregon, they've got these cliffs that the county and the city have already told the landowners, don't call us if it starts falling in, because we don't have the legal means and we don't have the economic means. But I think we need to, and I don't think we should do it by ourselves. I think with others, and ask the other ports, are they coming up with any continuity? And by continuity, I'm thinking about, you know, will it look like that? And if it doesn't look like that because it gets squashed out, what is the plan? And then recovery. If we don't have the Corps of Engineers, what are we going to do? I know it's going to take a while to think this through, but I think Ryan and Jackie have hit the nail on the head. This is Some of us think it's going to get worse. And the problem is that even when you watch the weather forecasters, they say we can't forecast. We can't use historical, this is seasonal. This is what happens. It gets hotter than hot. It gets wetter than wet. But think about any type of like resources in order to do this, so that we can put it in the budget and have it, you know, ready for you.
Lots of good comments. Let me jump in with a couple of questions. So, forecast another storm coming in this Sunday. Any idea how bad Sunday storm is supposed to be?
Rain or surf?
I think it's mostly rain, but
yeah, so the surf's supposed to pick up tonight into tomorrow, but not to the levels of last week. The rain doesn't have the same intensity as the one that we had closer to Christmas time. It's not talking about significant quantities of rain. However, wind's present throughout the rest of this week. So cold is what they're hitting on the most.
Hopefully not nearly as bad as what we've been talking about tonight. I'll tell you, you talked about the national coverage. I was in Wisconsin for the holidays, and kind of surreal to turn on the national news and see that event on Seaward, the lifeguard that you mentioned, and then the jet ski rescue. Pretty surreal to see that on national TV in little small town Wisconsin. Great job to you and the entire staff, as all the commissioners have talked about. I wanted to touch a little bit about the jetty. You know, we talked about the importance of relying on the Army Corps of Engineers. Let's not take that for granted. That's why our operations manager is going back to Washington, D.C. next month to work with our congressional leadership and remind them of the economic value we bring to the Ventura County and to the state of California, and why the Corps of Engineers is so valued, right, to make sure that jetty doesn't get any worse. That's very expensive work. And so that partnership through Congress and with the local Corps of Engineers district, you guys have done a nice job maintaining that those relationships. So just kind of underscoring the value of the trip next month. I'm curious about Water Pure. You brought up Water Pure. Any of this affecting their schedules, do we know?
Yeah. First phase of the pipe pull, which is a pipe being assembled in Rena Park, was supposed to be done in theory just before Christmas. They need, in theory, a minimum of 12 hours, a maximum of I think they're saying 48 hours, but they need the waves to be less than 3 feet and able in order to do the work. So yeah, it's slowing them down, and they probably another 10 days minimum before there's even a possibility.
Yeah,
of doing the pipe pull, so that's fairly consequential. And then the, I don't know what they call them, kind of a fender pile system over the where the pipe exited, the horizontal directional drill exited into the seabed. Those pipes disappeared on Thursday.
Oh, really?
And so one of the reasons Fugro was out yesterday to do the survey was to actually figure out where they went. And so I don't know what the outcome of that, and I don't know what that means if they're gone. But yeah, so there's probably some residual impacts there too. John, I don't know if you want to add anything else.
I'd appreciate getting me notified as the construction schedule goes and when they do that pipe pull offshore. I'd like to be able to watch that.
Yeah, I think one of the things we'll do is we'll reconnect with the Water Pure team, get an update on their schedule impacts. Yeah. Certainly, we have not seen any activity out there. So.
And also the construction onshore here, they're going to start trenching this winter, right? So.
They've been pretty busy out there.
Okay.
I have continued to see them work. Obviously, the wave activity didn't slow them down here.
John, you mentioned Wainimi opening up the harbor. That's a pretty rare event. You know, I work over there, and big sign says restricted harbor, do not enter. Have we thought about writing a letter to the Port of Wainimi or the Navy base Ventura County, just kind of on behalf of the Port District, maybe thanking them for
sure. Happy to do that.
Breaking the mold there. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's all I have. Appreciate all the comments. Any public comments do we have? Not seeing any public comments here. Jessica, any public comments online on this topic?
There are no public speakers.
Public speakers. We'll close it. This was an informational item, so we don't need to take any kind of vote or anything. Again, appreciate all the updates. John, appreciate everything you've done. Brian, the whole staff, well done. Anything else we want to touch on tonight?
No, I think we're good.
So we will reconvene then in 2 weeks on January 17th. And we will, I'll stand adjourned. And before we leave, wish our clerk to get well. And we'll see you back in person in 2 weeks.
Thank you.